It's time for another Bills by the Numbers, where we let the stats tell you where the Bills are at. We're presented by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Coming at you, there is turnover expected in Buffalo's secondary this offseason, but just how much is realistic to expect? In these three things, we examine both cost and age in that secondary equation, and Steve is quizzed on all-time Bills secondary players in the numbers game. Let's hurry it up already! Glad you can make it in for another edition of Bills by the Numbers. Bills Wall of Famer Steve Tasker, Bills Insider Chris Brown with you. And we've probably all sensed it was coming for a while now, but it appears we've reached the precipice of what is expected to be noticeable change in Buffalo's secondary for the first time in quite a while. Since 2018, Micah Hyde, Taron Johnson, Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious White have all played major roles in Buffalo's secondary, but it appears that quartet of players on the back end will no longer exist going forward. Micah Hyde is a free agent and likely will contemplate retirement. Tre'Davious White is coming off his second major leg injury that could compromise his ability to be available at the start of the regular season, and Jordan Poyer is at least a candidate to be a cap casualty with Buffalo more than $50 million over the cap. First and foremost, Steve, how does anticipated change with long-tenured members of a team impact the rest of the roster, even in the offseason?
In the offseason, it just spells opportunity because you're going to have some guys saying, well, you know what, this could be my chance to finally get on the field. It was a hard roster to crack with those four guys in there. Tre'Davious had it. And in Tre'Davious' defense, the fact that his injury happened into the season, he's not going to be available to start training camp in the preseason. It's going to take him a while to get back. And I just think it's unfortunate, but that's they're going to have to make a tough decision there. It's going to be hard for Tre'Davious White to get himself back onto the field as a Buffalo Bill. That doesn't mean he won't continue his career, but the production, there, he has no chance to live up to that contract. And in the atmosphere where they're at, and the fact that they had to go so far without him last year and did a pretty good job of it, they'll probably feel like they can at least tread water in that spot. Hyde and Poyer, same thing. I wouldn't put it out of the question that one or two of them come back, but it will be at a price that the club wants them to take, and if they want to continue to play, they probably can, but make no mistake, their replacements are going to be on the roster this year.
Yeah, and say what you want, 6 years... They even said it at the end of the season. I mean, I remember after the playoff loss to the Chiefs, they're both sitting up there at the postgame table in the bowels of the stadium, and they're talking about the recognition of how rare it is to play as a tandem on a team in the NFL for six consecutive seasons. Those two men did that, and I only say six because Micah missed most of the 2022 campaign due to the neck injury that required surgery. It's been a great run for that tandem, but all good things must come to an end, and I just can't see both of them being back. And I hate to even say this, I think it's more likely that neither of them are back than it is that one of them are back. I don't even think there's a way we get to both of them being back in 2024. The most likely departure, as we kind of foretold here, would seem to be Micah Hyde, who at age 33 is not the same dynamic player he was when he came to the Bills 7 years ago. I think everybody would readily admit that. There's also a leadership void there, too, as he was a primary voice on the defensive side of the ball. I think you can replace the athletic ability, whether it's with a free agent or a draft choice, Steve, but there is a void that a leadership hole has to be filled there with him. Whom do you see filling it? I know the roster is kind of topsy-turvy right now with the decisions that have to be made, but do you have a candidate?
I think the guy standing in there right now, there's two of them probably. Taron Johnson would be a great candidate for this because now he's a guy who signed his second contract, played well, and has been had the best ability of all, availability. The guy's on the field all the time. And secondly, I think it's the newcomer, Rasul Douglas, who's got some veteran savvy and came in and played extremely well down the stretch last week. Played hurt last year in the playoffs and provided some, I think, confidence at that corner spot. So I think those two guys are where I would look first because of the veterans, and particularly Taron, who's been here the longest and knows this defense and has seen it evolve over the years. So those there's some guys in there, and there's plus there's some guys down the roster who we know their name but didn't get on the field very much. Got, you know, Cam Lewis and all these guys. And Christian Benford's going to be a third-year player.
Right.
There'll be some guys that will have a bigger voice this year that we haven't seen that from so far.
Yeah, and when I asked you that question, I was kind of thinking defense in totality, but I do like the Taron Johnson pick. The guy is an absolute dog. He's universally respected, not only on this roster, but around the league, as evidenced by being named second-team All-Pro last year. So I think he's a great candidate to fill the leadership void. And then secondarily, I would kind of look at Terrell Bernard, a guy that stepped in and very capably led this defense as a first-year starter and produced in a giant way in just about every defensive category you can think of. I think those are your two leaders going forward on the back seven. Tre'Davious White, as Steve mentioned, is a tricky conversation. Much like Micah Hyde, he has given a lot to this club. He successfully returned from an ACL injury, but 10 games later ruptured his Achilles. He's missed 30 games in the last 3 years and has three interceptions over that span. He's also making big money. That equation in the business of football, as hard as it is to say, does not compute. It's clear the organization loves Trey, but this is a business decision that may not have a happy ending. How do you see that playing out, knowing Buffalo's cap constraints?
Yeah, it's interesting. Something will have to move. Either the contract will move, or Tre'Davious will move, or they'll compromise on the they'll tear up the contract or something like that and try again. Something has to be done. Certainly, at the very least, it will be restructured. But Tre'Davious is not going to be available early in the season.
Yeah,
and that's a crusher for a guy making the kind of money he's making. It's just as much as we all love him, you just can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah, and I struggle with this because it's another guy who has been a cornerstone player for this organization. But as painful as it is to say, he is not the first, and he won't be the last. This league is a battle of attrition like no other. And as much as you want to see guys, especially a player like Trey, whom the team invested a first-round pick in at the start of the McDermott era, and you want to see it end well, they don't all have the fairy tale endings to careers. So I think it is there is a very good chance that they have to meet, because even the timing of his injury is not good with the decisions that have to be made on the business side. Because if this was a guy that you knew was going to be on the field in April, you could say, okay, well, let's see how he looks.
Right.
And we'll do some things to get cap compliant with his contract, but let's see how he looks in April and May and June, and then we can make another decision later on in the offseason. He's not going to be ready to even show them that.
Right.
And so, and people talk about, well, restructure it, you know, move some money around, extend the contract. I don't think it's wise to extend the contract either. With two major leg injuries that he has had in the last two-plus seasons, you have a player who, even if he is able to come back and play at an NFL level, maybe at the tail end of this season or perhaps even in 2025, I think it's safe to say these injuries have shortened the longevity of his career. He is not going to be the same player at age 31, 32 that he would have been absent these two injuries. And they take a toll, and you can speak to that.
Yeah, like, Achilles injuries are hard, or they're very difficult to come back from, very. It used to be, you know, back in the day, we've seen it evolve because, you know, sports has driven a lot of innovation in joint repair. Knee injuries are the ones that were classic when I was growing up. If you got a knee injury, wow, your career is over. That's it. No, not so much. You know, you can come back from that. Even ACLs and all that stuff, you can still come back and very easily live a normal life and even play professional sports.
Yeah.
Now, then, for a while, it was shoulders. You know, it was the rotator cuff, the labrum, all of that stuff. And now, the next one that's been the real hurdle to get over, excuse me, is the Achilles. that was always a you're done. In fact, in the beginning, you were going to be maimed. I mean, that's how bad it was
right.
decades ago. Now, of course, it's not that. But, in fact, you've seen Kobe Bryant come back and continue his career in the NBA,
Years ago, Tekeo Spikes came back from it. I don't think he was the same player, but he played another 6 years in the league. But linebacker's different than corner.
That's right. We'll see. And I'm sure that the club is getting constant reports of how Tredavious's rehab is going, what the timeline is. They've probably got a very specific timeline about what they can expect. But when the first one comes out and they say it's going to be October, that's hard. That's hard.
It's going to be interesting to see if they can find a way around it to keep him on the roster. And then there's Jordan Poyer, whose cap figure of almost $8 million would likely need to be adjusted. I would like to think, with a glut of free agent safeties in the market again this offseason, that Poyer would be willing to take an amended deal, perhaps for a bit less money, knowing, much like last offseason, he's not going to get good money on the open market at age 32. But he, too, could be a cap casualty. Do you at least see a way to Poyer having a chance to stay on the roster in 2024?
Yeah, I would say there's a chance, not at $8 million. If he wants to play another year, certainly the club would love to have him, his leadership and his experience, and certainly as a guy that could groom another generation of safeties for the Bills. But yeah, that's where it's at. I mean, he would have to decide he wanted to take what they offered him, because in this market where they are now, the Bills are going to make him an offer they think they can afford, with given the quality of his play. That's kind of the way he'll just decide whether it's good enough or not.
Yeah, and I think the conversation needs to be had here too. Even though he was an enormously productive player once again this season, I think he finished second on the team in tackles behind Terrell Bernard. His role changed. He was closer to the line of scrimmage, and you wonder if it's time to not only have the conversation about compensation, but is it also time to have the conversation about role in the defense? Because is he a starting caliber safety that's going to play 17 games for you, snap in and snap out, and can handle coverage on the back end? I don't know if we can say that about him anymore. He might be better as a sub-package player, like a dime linebacker, which is kind of how he was used when Taylor Rapp came onto the field in that dime package after they lost Matt Milano for the season.
Yeah.
These are the hard conversations that need to be had, because if you're a sub-package player, it's bad business to pay that guy $8 million a year.
I'll say this, too. From a player standpoint, I was as old as Jordan Poyer a long time ago, but I was an old football player in my career. And when if they have that conversation with Jordan Poyer at 32 years old, and they say, listen, we're going to need you to play this and get in the box, and Jordan Poyer's going to have to look in the mirror and take a deep breath, because that's – I know what that means.
Well, yeah, he's a prideful player, as you would expect.
Well, here's the thing. You've got to dredge it up. It's going to be a season late in your career that really – really hurts. I mean, I'm saying, not forget about injury.
And
I'm talking about you're going to hurt.
Right.
It's going to be a lot to ask to take on guys and tackle and be in the mix inside the box. And when you're that age, it makes you swallow hard, look in the mirror and say, man, do I really want to keep going like this?
There are just so many compelling questions, both from a business standpoint and a personnel standpoint this offseason in the secondary, which is why this was ground we wanted to cover. We dive in now to these three things. The Bills roster is the subject this time around. Thing number one, which one of the following Bills free agents is most critical to return to Buffalo's secondary in your mind, Steve? Dane Jackson, Cam Lewis, Micah Hyde, Taylor Rapp.
I think maybe it's got. I'm torn between Cam Lewis, Taylor Rapp. I need a young body back there as a safety, because I feel like they're bereft of bodies, let alone really guys. Taylor Rapp's got a year in the system. Dane Jackson, yes, good player, played a lot this year. I think they're going to be okay at corner with Rasul Douglas, with Christian Benford, with Kyrie Elam. Dane Jackson would be the fourth guy in that crew to me. So I'm saying Taylor Rapp, probably.
Yeah, Rapp would be my choice as well, again, because of some of what we just discussed. I don't know that either of the two safeties that fans have become so accustomed to seeing on the back end for the Bills will be back. So from that standpoint alone, Rapp is a prototype safety. He's 26 years old. He's in the prime of his career. He has a year in this system. You need a frontline proven starter back there to kind of help fill the void. Cam Lewis, to me, is a phenomenal Swiss Army knife. He can play nickel. He can back up at safety, and he can be a gunner on your special teams unit. That is a valuable asset, but I don't know that he is a frontline 17 games a year starter. So that's the only thing that, in my mind, gives Rapp the edge over him. Don't get me wrong. I want Cam Lewis back on this team because of everything that he does for the club, and I thought he had his best season in Bills uniform last year. But I think Rapp edges him out just because of the frontline nature that his game presents right. And offers. Thing number two, assuming there are no new potential starting options at outside corner this offseason, who do you project to be your two starting outside corners to start the 2024 season? And we're pretty much talking about players under contract yeah. right now. I think we anticipate they'll add people, but of that top three, Douglas, Benford,
Elam,
who are your starters outside?
Kyrie Elam and Christian Benford. Okay. I think Rasul Douglas is a really good player, and he impressed last year, all the turnovers he got after he came in at this half of the year, but I don't think he's athletic enough to keep Benford and Elam off the field. When push comes to shove and they want to play their most athletic guys, and now with the new coaches and new sets of eyes on these guys, I think Elam gets a fresh start, and I think he makes the most of it, and Benford just keeps on keeping on. So I think it's Elam and Benford at the corners on the outside, and Rasul Douglas is a fill-in guy. Maybe he's a role player switching to safety or doing some of that as well, because I don't think Douglas is athletic as athletic as you need him to be.
Right. If you want to play some more man coverage, you know, this year on the back end, I mean, they played some last year. If you want to play even more this year, and who knows what the plans are with Bobby Babbage as the new DC, how much he wants to tweak and maybe change some things on the back end, Elam and Benford can do everything. I don't know that Rasul Douglas is an expert in man coverage. He is a ball hawk. There is no question about that. And you're right. Maybe there is some conversation about safety. Last year at this time, they were contemplating transitioning Benford to safety. I think he had too good a season at corner to entertain that, but Douglas might not be a bad idea as an option there if you want to do that. And then he can also have position flexibility and line up at corner if for some reason one of those guys goes down for a few weeks.
And it's interesting, too. It might be whichever one plays safety better, the other one's the corner. You know, Rasul Douglas across from Elam, and then Benford goes to safety, or vice versa. You know, Benford could be the corner, and Rasul could move back, and it might be whichever one that combination works best. They might try them both there and have a conversation about it. I could see that happening. I do, and I think we'll start talking about this as the off-season wears on and training camp and all that. I still think we're going to see some Kyrie Elam on the field this year where we haven't in the past.
I share that sentiment. Thing number three, if Taylor Rapp is re-signed to be one of Buffalo's starting safeties, who do you believe will be the other? A free agent, someone already on the roster, or a draft choice?
I don't think it's somebody on the roster. I would be surprised if it's a draft choice. I think they're going to get a guy. I think there's too many guys out there that can really play. Too many guys you can get that are pretty dependable. And in the short time, coming in one off season, getting acclimated, preseason training camp, getting on the field to start for this team, I think you got to go with a veteran guy, and I think that's where it's going to come from.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. As we have noted on our daily show, One Bills Live, the safety market is even more flush with veteran players than it was last year when there were 18 starters on the safety market in free agency. I think supply outweighs demand, and because of that, I think the Bills will be able to find themselves an affordable second option at safety in addition to try to re-sign Taylor Rapp. So, yeah, I would agree with you. I think a free agent is the way it'll go. We pivot now to the numbers game, where Steve will be tasked with Bill's secondary stat trivia. You ready here, Steve Arino?
I'm ready.
I tried to give you a few layups in here, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Should I be insulted by that or encouraged?
I'm trying to do right by my guy here. So here we go. Question number one.
We need to help Steve out.
There is one Buffalo Bills player from the Sean McDermott era who has reached the top 10 on the Bills' all-time interception list. Who is it?
Jordan Poyer.
And you would be correct, Steve. 22 career interceptions. He is tied with Jarris Bird for 10th most in Bills history. Question number two. Who is the Sean McDermott era leader in pass breakups in Buffalo secondary?
I will say Taron Johnson.
It is not Taron Johnson.
All right, I will say Tre'Davious.
And you would be correct. Tre'Davious White with 68.
That's amazing because
career pass
the guy's
breakup.
Missed 30 games in the last 3 years.
And he, let's not forget, he was an all-pro at a point in his career where he wasn't getting thrown at a whole lot either. Question number three. What defensive back leads the Bills all-time in tackles for loss? Now, we should mention, tackles for loss was not a statistic that was kept before 1999. So, what defensive back leads the Bills all-time in tackles for loss?
Is it in the Sean McDermott era?
The player did play in the Sean McDermott era.
Right. I'm going to say I can't think of I'm going to Jordan Poyer?
You would be correct.
How about
Jordan
me?
Jordan Poyer, 35 tackles for loss. Final question, Steve.
All right.
Question four.
Let's go.
Who is the all-time sack leader among Bills defensive backs all-time?
All right, I'm asking the same question. Did he play in this era?
Well, once again, as most know at this point in time, sacks did not become an official statistic until 1982.
All right.
So who is the all-time sack leader among Bills defensive backs all-time?
I have no shot at this one. I'm going to say Henry Jones.
It is not Henry Jones.
Oh, you're going to have to give me a hint on this one.
It is a player that played in the Sean McDermott era.
Okay. Micah Hyde.
It is not Micah Hyde.
Oh, Taron.
It is not Taron.
Gah! I told you I needed help with this. That's a deep Poyer.
It is Jordan Poyer.
Golly, Joe Willikers, man.
He is the correct answer on three of the four questions on this week's numbers game. And I'm just going to tell you right now, those aren't the only three categories where he ranks very high in Bills history.
He has
had a historic Bills career at defensive back for this club.
Bless his
when
heart.
When he is officially done,
he might be a Wall of Famer.
He's Wall of Fame worthy.
Yeah.
If you look only at his numbers, forget about being a captain, an all-pro in his career here. You look at his numbers alone.
Bless his heart.
He is probably Wall of Fame worthy.
Awesome.
We've got to get now to the FanDuel stuff. We got to let you know, people, why we're here. Get in on the action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Just download the app today to play any way you want. Plus, with live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. Best of all, you get paid your winnings fast. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the Buffalo Bills. Time for our one burning question, which deals with what else? Buffalo secondary. As we mentioned earlier, there are four free agents in Buffalo secondary total. How many do you believe are re-signed by the Bills? And just for memory's sake, Hyde, Jackson, Lewis, Rapp. How many are re-signed, do you think, this offseason by the Bills?
I think the over-under is 1.5. I'm going to say 2.
Say
I'm
two.
Gonna, yeah, I'm going to say Jackson Rapp.
Jackson and Rapp, you believe, are back.
Yeah, I think they are. That's what I think. I think the two of them. I think they. Dane Jackson has played extremely well, and he's been somebody they've
He's well-liked by the coaching staff.
Yeah, he's one of those like kind of like Levi Wallace guys, you know, where he, as much as they try and find a better guy, he's always the one they put out there. And I think they like that about him. I think that he fits that culture so good. And Rapp, just for the fact that I think he's the best option behind Poyer and Hyde, and I think that's the guy that they're going to lean on
year in the
coming
system.
Back, and he's been a year in the system. So now that, yeah. They may go a different route in free agency. There may be somebody that we unknowingly they've had their eye on for a year or two, even last year. They can get him even better value this year, and he is the guy they thought he was going to be with another. You know, they thought he was available last year, then signed somewhere else. I think there's guys like that out there. So I think if they don't get Taylor Rapp back in the fold, it will be a free agent that they've had their eye on for a minute.
I'm going to be a little optimistic here. I'm going to say 3 of these guys come back. I think Dane Jackson, to your point, is a guy they'd like to have back in the fold, provided it can be at an affordable figure. Yes, Taylor Rapp, I think, is going to be a high priority for them. And then I think Cam Lewis does too much here. I think they're going to try to get him back. Now, you always run the risk of some other team valuing him higher than they can stomach with their cap situation. That's always a risk. But all things being equal, I think they would like to have him back. So I'm going to be optimistic and say 3 of the 4 return to the roster. Our closing figure is as follows. The Bills were tied for 2nd in the league in the regular season in takeaways with 30, tied for 3rd in interceptions with 18 this past season. And that was without their top corner, Tre'Davious White, and top coverage linebacker Matt Milano for 3 quarters of the season. They also were 3rd in sack percentage and 4th in total sacks, with Von Miller not able to help in either of those categories at all in 2023. The defense will need to fill some holes, but it should be every bit as formidable, if not more so, knowing that, all things considered, Milano and Miller should be up to snuff and in tip-top shape. That'll do it for this edition. Be sure to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you use so you know when our next episode is available. Because when you need to know about the Bills, you need to check Bills by the Numbers. For Steve Tasker, I'm Chris Brown. We'll catch you next time, everybody.